to me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. What's up? What's up? From the Antelope Valley to anal beads, Barack to Basquiat, cornflakes to cock rings, Dungeons and Dragons to Dunkin' Donuts, Ensenada to Estados Unidos, flapjacks to figging, graffiti to Galapagos, hip-hop to house, insomnia to In-N-Out, jokers to jockeys, kangaroos to Kathmandu, L-Train to lithium, Manhattan to Mongolia, nebulous to narcissus, Oprah to Oppenheimer, Pee-wee Herman to Pope John Paul the Great, Q-Bird and quantum physics, Rockefeller to rolling papers, stupid motherfuckers to scientific probabilities, tinted windows to times tables, uniformity to ubiquity, virgins to vigilance, watches to Wachovia, xenon to xylophones, Yo-Yo Ma to Yo MTV Raps, ZD to Zinc. Yeah, boy. What's going on? We're kicking it live right here from downtown. Beautiful, sunny, dark and dirty, shitty downtown LA, Skid Row Studios. Booyah! That's right.
You're tuned into Nestorius Public Radio. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius.
Got my main man, Rich Corbin, my co-host, my guest co-host. Kick it.
What's up?
My man Rich and I go back from... Well, when did we meet, Rich?
Years ago. When was that? 2006.
Somewhere in the 2000s, right?
Six. Right. Six. Right. Six.
Yeah, we were on...
commercial.
Yeah, we were on a commercial. We were on a Sequan commercial, Sequan Casino commercial. Yeah. So basically, man, we're just going to kick it here for about an hour. Thank you for joining us. Feel free to call 1-800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. It's a free call, motherfucker. Pick up the phone. We're going to be talking shit. We're going to be talking shit about the IRS. It's tax time.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's fucking tax time, you fucking tax evaders. April 15th. What's today? April 11th?
Yeah.
All right. Public service announcement coming up. You need to have your shit postmarked by April 15th, which is Monday, just in case you motherfuckers are doped out somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm just informing you. That's all I'm saying. So we're going to talk a little bit about the IRS, the history of the IRS and the tax system in the United States. We're going to talk about a couple of news-related items that have happened and transpired within the past week or so. We're going to give a big rest in peace to Annette Funicello, Margaret Thatcher, you crusty bitch, and Roger Ebert. We're going to give a big up. We're going to give a big up to Roger Ebert. Let me see if I can get the special. Big up. Big up. Big up. Big up to Roger Ebert. Yeah, fuck yeah. Big up. Big up. Big up Annette Funicello. Big up. You crusty fucking white bitch, Margaret Thatcher. Big up. Rest in peace, y'all. Y'all put your names on the map on society. So we're going to talk about specifically Roger Ebert. And hang in there, because I have a special interview with Dennis Quaid on the set of Vegas, CBS's show Vegas. And perhaps, Rich and I were talking earlier about, and also Jeremy and I here from Skid Row Studios. We just got back from the NAB conference in Vegas, the National Association of Broadcasters or Broadcasting. And, we were talking about the Nielsen ratings and how it's bullshit and how TV shows don't really get the chance that they deserve in order to actually make it on a network. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Vegas is one of those shows. It's an amazing show. If you haven't seen the show yet, it aired on Tuesdays on CBS. I forgot what time, like 8 o'clock. They played like one or two episodes. Then they took it off the air for like a week or two to show porn, but you couldn't watch that because you needed special glasses and shit. But then they brought it back, and then they had Golden Boy for like a couple of weeks, and they showed Vegas again. Basically, they were jerking Vegas off. Yeah. They were like playing three card Monty with Vegas.
Yeah, and if you want to try to find it, you fucking can't.
Yeah,
you
just, on the CBS.
Yeah, because I check out an episode, and I'm like, where the fuck is? Oh, they got clips up the ass.
You right, can right, right.
Catch a chickless clip right, there, you know, right. And it's great.
Right, they'll have like a small clip.
Yeah, right. But you can't. Not even on their website can you watch a past thing that I could find. I don't know. I'm not like.
No, I'm with you. No, I mean, they'll have a couple of like clips of an like last week's episode or something like that. But in order to watch the show from the beginning, you probably have to go to iTunes, download it, and stuff like that. Which is I definitely recommend it. It's a great show. Anyway, the point is that the show has been jerked around. It is now on Friday nights. From 9 to 10, I believe that's Eastern and Pacific time, on CBS. It's before Blue Bloods. Mm. So check it out. Tell your people, if you know someone with a Nielsen box, you know, steal it, plug it into your shit, and watch Vegas on Friday night. So that, you know, we want that show. It's a California show. It's a dope show. You got Dennis Quaid. You got Michael Chiklis. You got the hot, sexy chick from the fuck is the name of that movie with that other guy? Exactly.
Oh, man.
The Matrix. The real sexy chick. What was her name from The Matrix? Come on. Dude, I can't believe I'm gonna space out on that. Yeah, so we're gonna kick it with that. And we're gonna talk about just a few things. So with that, why don't we start with the IRS, the brief history of the IRS. We all know that the IRS stands for the Internal Revenue Service, not the inter-ejaculatory rubber band syndrome, like some people think it means. So basically, the origin of the IRS, the roots of the IRS go back to the Civil War when President Lincoln and Congress in 1862 created the position of Commissioner of Internal Revenue. And enacted an income tax to pay war expenses. Imagine that shit, huh? Does that sound familiar? Mm. Misrepresentation of our tax dollars to support war?
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop.
Going strong.
You know what I'm saying?
The
income tax was repealed. Check that shit out. There were people who actually said, you know what? Fuck that. You know what I mean? We don't want that shit to happen. So 10 years later, in 1872, the shit was repealed. And then Congress revived the income tax in 1894. So for about another 20 years after it was repealed, Congress said, y'all motherfuckers are sleeping. Y'all motherfuckers are sleeping. That's what he said. Anyway, we got a caller. Caller, what's popping?
Yo, loser. It's Carrie Ann Moss is her name.
Oh, shit. That's my homegirl right there. Carrie Ann Moss, thanks so much. By all means, listeners, if you hear me saying something or stumbling or like if I sound like I need medication and I'm forgetting something, just call in. You know what I mean? It's free. 800-893-9562. Do it. You know what I'm saying? So what's up, caller?
Acknowledge me or not?
I'm acknowledging it. That's my wife, Rosemary Rodriguez, and my number one fan. That's my wife and my number one fan right there, Rosemary Rodriguez, who happens to be one of the directors of the show Vegas that I was just talking about. And
thanks for the props. You're doing a great job.
Hey, thank you. Hold on a second. Your episode is airing not this Friday, but probably next Friday?
May 3rd.
You got to check this shit out because one of the executive producers took Rosemary out to lunch and told her that her episode looked like a movie. That's a big compliment coming for the from the TV world, right?
Thanks, Nestor. I'll get off now.
No. Bullshit. You're going to use it. You're going to. Nah.
No, I'm here with Paige, who needs some cheering up.
All right, we'll cheer Paige up. You hang up and have Paige call me back. Let me finish the IRS. But I want to finish what what we're talking about here, because the guy who's the executive producer, he was also a producer or executive producer to the original Rush Hour movies.
Arthur Sarkisian.
Bust the move, yo. That's what I'm saying. Arthur motherfucking Sarkisian. If you're listening, Arthur, we need some money. 1-800-893-9562. All right, Skid Row Studios is moving. We need some fucking moving funds. I know you're a rich motherfucker. You got money coming out the Armenian boontech. So hook it up. All right.
Love you.
I love you too. And have Paige call in later on. So I'll help her bring her back to her spirits. All right. So where were we? Okay. So, the income tax was repealed 10 years later, 1872. And then Congress revived the income tax in 94, 20 years later. But the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional the following year. That's 1895. Come on, guys. 1895, there's a lot of cock knobbing, a lot of jerking off with the fucking people's money and the people's rights. It's like 1895, they should have said, fuck that. No more income tax. You know what I'm saying? We should have just went back to the Robin Hood way of doing shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. You need a bridge? Kill the fucking, steal it. You know what I mean?
You got a bridge? I want a bridge.
Yeah.
You don't have a bridge anymore.
Right. You need welfare? Let's steal that shit from somebody. You know what I mean? Let's do that shit the old-fashioned way. Anyway, in 1913, though, Wyoming ratified the 16th Amendment, providing the three-quarter majority of states necessary to amend the Constitution. Okay. If you don't know what the 16th Amendment stands for, neither do I. So look it up, okay? The 16th Amendment gave Congress the authority to enact the income tax. That same year, the first form, 1040, appeared after Congress levied a 1% tax on net personal incomes above $3,000, which means no slaves had to pay tax, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, with a 6% surtax on incomes of more than $500,000. Right. We're talking about what? Fucking 1913?
Who made $500,000?
Well, J.P. Morgan, Ford, Edison.
Do you think they had all those loopholes back then?
Of course. They're the ones that sent it. Now, I read on another site that the 1040 form got its name because it was amended 40 times, and the 40th version was the one that the government accepted. That's what I heard, or I read. Anyway, in 1918, during World War I, the top rate of the income tax rose to 77% to help finance the war. Okay, that's pretty crazy.
That's steep.
Isn't that steep?
Yeah.
77% to help finance the war effort. It dropped sharply in the post-war years, down to 24% in 1929. Like, really? Who the fuck are you going to tax? Motherfuckers are eating cobwebs during the fucking Great Depression.
Yeah, but they want their cobwebs.
Man. Yeah, but who are you going to tax? It went down to 24%.
That's still a lot.
Mr. Ramirez, you got lint balls. We want to have a tax on that lint ball.
Want a quarter of your lint ball, man.
Yeah. And rose again during the Depression. So it rose again, really.
I know you don't have a lot of money, but we're going to take more.
But maybe you can come to Washington and rub the president's balls. You know, anything can help. Anyway, during World War II, Congress introduced payroll withholding and quarterly tax payments. Is that when that shit happened? Fucking, let me repeat that again. During World War II, when we were trying to bust a cap in the fucking Nazis' asses, Congress introduced payroll withholding and quarterly tax payments. So right back then, my peoples, the Puerto Ricans, they were going, I got 50 kids, yo. You can't deduct anything from my paycheck. White people were like, fuck it. Okay, we got to pay for it. Anyway, a new name. In the 50s, the agency was reorganized to replace a patronage system with career. Professional employees. Nice. The Bureau of Internal Revenue name was changed to the Internal Revenue Service because they're providing a service.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought hookers provided a service. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought car washes provided a service. You know
they
what I mean?
Provide a service of taking your money, you know.
But that's a disservice. You know what I mean?
Not to them.
That's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah, they had to, you know, because they didn't want you to have to do it. So they said, you know what? We'll help you take your money for away from you.
Right. Well, they called it a service to make it seem like it was like they were doing something for you with your money.
To protect and serve.
Right. Mm-hmm. Protect and serve what?
Protect and serve hamburgers.
Yeah. I don't really understand that. Anyway, only the IRS commissioner and chief counsel are selected by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Huh. So only the president chooses who the IRS commissioner and chief counsel are. That's kind of convenient, don't you think?
Yeah.
So like if the president wants breaks on his taxes or whatever, or any of his cronies, he's in with the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You can't just go, you know, to anyone and say, you work at Arby's.
Yeah.
At the restaurant.
Right.
Which we're going to talk about later on.
Oh,
when
Arby's
the fucking
is great.
With the lipstick bounty hunters. We're going to talk about that. So you work at that Arby's where that happened, right?
Right.
So you work at Arby's. I'm your friend. And I want to go in whenever you're working on your shift. And I say, yo, could you hook me up with a cheeseburger and shit? And you're like, yo, just come on like at 11 o'clock. I'll give you a cheeseburger. You buy a soda, and I'll give you a cheeseburger and a soda. It's all good. No big deal.
Right.
With the IRS, it doesn't work that way because the IRS has all sorts of these fucking offices and all these little people who are working and all these different, you know, officers and investigators and all these other people. So you can't really go to any of those guys and say, yo, Officer Riley, which, by the way, I'm getting audited. I'm going to New York to get audited.
Right.
An Asian woman, Mrs. Wang. Mm. I'm like, I thought it was a dude. He had a fucking like.
That's really who's doing it.
Yeah, but it was an asexual name, but it happened to be a woman. I automatically forgot the full name, but I assumed that it was a man. Anyway, I call her up and it's a woman, and she, you know, she's auditing me, Mrs. Wang.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't go up to Mrs. Wang and say, hey, Mrs. Wang, you know, why don't I take you out for coffee? You know, we kick it a little bit and whatever. Even if I could do that, Mrs. Wang doesn't have that power to, you know, ixnay or hook me up with a, you know, with a burger if I buy a soda.
Right.
So to speak. You know what I mean? But the commissioner of the IRS does. He's the top dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying?
He's
the manager. He can hook you up.
He's the man. I mean, he's the guy who's in charge of whoever's in charge of the computer system or the whatever, you know what I mean? So I just find that interesting. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you want to keep all the power in house.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who works for the commissioner, Rich?
No.
You know a lot of people. I know that.
It's a secret society, I'm sure.
It's unbelievable. Unreal. All right. Well, that brings us to today's IRA. Today's IRS organization. The IRS Restructuring and Reform Act of 1998. Damn, that just happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
The Reform Act of 1998 prompted the most comprehensive reorganization and modernization of IRS in nearly half a century. Namely, bend over and let me foop you in the butt. The IRS reorganized itself to closely resemble the private sector model of organizing around customers with similar needs.
I don't know what that means.
Basically, it's reorganizing the you can't call us, we call you method of business, right? Like, it's the organization. Is there someone there that I can talk to? No, we're the IRS. So they reorganized it so that you can talk to somebody like a regular business. They have all these offices and, you know, and by the way, I'm serious. I am getting audited, and I've spoken to a lot of people in the past week that have spoken about being audited, and you know, they'll send you a letter and they tell you that they want all of your documentation via mail and all this other stuff for their review.
Right.
I just want to let you know it is within your constitutional right within within the being a citizen of the U.S. of A. to request a one-on-one. To request to have your audit done by Mrs. Wang, if you will. I'll give you her number and in New York and have a person. And when you speak to them, they want to know what you have and all that other stuff. And they warn you. They say, you know, when you come, bring your accountant and make sure that all your paperwork is in order. And I'm like, I'm going to bring my paperwork in shambles. I'm going to bring piles of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you work. You're going to interrupt my life and stress me the fuck out.
Meh.
I'm going to bring my shit, my receipts written on Arby's wrapping, burger wrappings, okay?
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm going to do. Eso es lo que yo voy a hacer, papito.
Cuz that's where your tax dollars are going, by the way, right? To pay these motherfuckers to fuck with you.
We have another. That's shit. That's a good point. Another caller. Caller, welcome to Nestorius Public Radio.
Nestor, it's Maria, another Rodriguez.
Oh, Maria, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, so that I'm hearing you on the internet. I'm enjoying your show, and I love this little review on the history of the IRS, too, and finding out that you're getting audited, and I have survived it, too.
You just got audited also?
No, I got audited some years ago, but various members of my family have been audited several times.
For being Latina?
The thing is, I'm not saying that all Latins get
audited. No, but I mean, I'm saying you claimed about 50 people as your dependents, like most Latinos, like I do.
You know, I'm still single and I have no dependents.
That means nothing. But that means nothing. The IRS doesn't know you're single. You just.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah.
They do?
A lot more weight. But the thing is, it's absolutely right. Bring an accountant. Do not try to. This is not like going to court and defending yourself. Absolutely. You know, bring an accountant.
Yes.
The one that did the taxes for that year. That
No, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, now they make sure that your accountant is available. I mean, Mrs. Wang specifically said, is your accountant coming with you? What she should have said was, you better bring your accountant with you because...
Yeah. Don't get your ass in here unless you bring an accountant because I will kill you.
Right. Which basically she alluded to that. After that, she said, I just want to make sure that your accountant is available on the date that you call me back and say that you want to come in.
Right.
But they'll work with you.
Tell you, I won. I was right. Everything was in order. But they make you feel like a criminal.
Oh, but I feel at home when they make me feel like a criminal.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, they'll figure it. But that's it. And, you know, ever since then, I have, you know, kept very, you know, good records on everything. But I just remember there were two guys. There was not just a Mrs. Lamb. There were two guys. And I thought, how does the government afford having two guys to audit, you know, little old me? But it's random.
Yeah.
They randomly pick. And yes, Nestor, we freelancers and we artists are like... fine pickings for them.
No, I know.
But I have to say, so far on your show, and I love everything you're saying because I'm learning so much about the IRS. I can't tell if you're supporting a tax system or if you're kind of going libertarian on us and all that.
Okay, well, I'll answer.
How do you feel? Is that the rest of the show?
No. I was actually going to go on to news, but this was a perfect call, and it's a fair question, and I think it's an important one. I personally believe in contributing my fair share to anything I do, you know.
Absolutely,
like if we're all chipping in for something, for a pizza, for instance, because we all want to eat pizza that night. I'm down if there's four of us to put a quarter. And if somebody, one of the four, doesn't have, I'm down to, you know, some, you know, p- pick up his tab and chip in for him, and I'm sure most of us would. The problem with the IRS and the problem that I have with the taxation system in America is that, you know, you get your taxes taken out no matter what. Boom, you pay if you have a regular job. As it said in, I forgot when that was, in like 1929 or whatever, that the quarterly and the payroll, during World War II, the quarterly and the payroll withholding happened. That means it's automatic. You know, you get a check, they get theirs first. And the problem I have is that after you get your post-tax dollars, then you got to get taxed again at the local level, grocery store, the gas bills, the gas prices, and it just on and on and on and on. And the thing is, okay, so where are my taxes going? So I'm not for the way things have operated, but you know, we all have iPhones and we have an app.
and the thing is, until we've traveled enough different states and known the difference, like for certain states that don't have state income tax, like Montana and Arizona and all that, if you compare the infrastructure, like the roads,
right.
And, you know, the public schools and all that to California or New York, where, you know, we have had state income tax all these years, you see right away what the difference is.
Right, right. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and that's it. Or even traveling other countries where they don't have a regular, you know, federal type income tax and all that. They don't have, like, even a bare minimum standard of what public education is supposed
right.
to be. I mean, I never really understood or appreciated it until I started to travel and,
right.
and travel on a
right.
shoestring.
Right.
And just, you know, having worked, like, some ranches in, you know, Montana and Arizona and Nevada, where I say, oh, good, I'm going to go buy, you know, my online item, because they have no state tax.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Holy shit.
Right. Well, that's what I do. I do. When I order like large electronic items, I just rent a hotel in like New Hampshire because all you need is a mailing address and New Hampshire doesn't have any taxes. So I'll rent a motel for like 2 days and I time it just when the FedEx guy is going to drop off the package and I don't get taxed on it.
Right, but you still have to rent the room. But then the thing is, now I've decided that, damn it, I am going to pay the tax because I believe in a minimum level of public education in all states. And it's like now with the sequester and all that, I'm like, fuck it, man. We need Head Start or these guys are going to be gangbangers in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it has really made me think about the taxes. And then I have friends in Europe who... Like in France, for example, in certain jobs, they don't do a regular withholding from taxes the way we do.
Right.
They have, a lot of my friends have to borrow money from a bank to pay their annual tax bill.
Right.
Because they have been able to estimate how much they're going to, it seems like, the government is renting money from you without paying you anything for it. But it softens the blow, like, you know, I'm getting $27 back from the Fed this year.
Right, right.
But I'm grateful because last year I had to pay.
Well, at least you don't have to pay. And just a couple things. You can go online and Google the IRS. There's a couple of other, you know, crazy thinking, you know, pros and cons about how it's not legal for them to charge you money and you don't have to pay tax and all that other stuff. So that information's out there.
And they're bailing out Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah, and there's also information on state-to-state tax liability. So if you want to move to a state that doesn't have income tax, you know, you have that option also as an American. Maria, I'm going to have to go because I have another caller. Thank you so much, sweetie.
Good show. I'm listening.
Thank you so much.
Not just because I'm a Rodriguez.
Thank you, but I appreciate your support.
Okay, dude.
Always.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Dennis Quaid, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
That's right. We're giving a little plug there from Dennis Quaid. Stay tuned. We're going to have that Dennis Quaid interview on the set of Vegas. Caller, what's happening? Who's this? Thanks for calling, Nestorius.
Nestorino.
Who's this? Is this my girlfriend, Paige?
It's Paige Delicious.
What's up, baby? What's up?
Yeah,
that was some killer hold music that we had going on here. It was Mr.
Robusto. Oh, yeah, it was Miss. Oh, oh, really? Awesome shit. I'm not privy to listening to that hold music, but I'm glad they have the. We got my man Nick over here on the ones and twos operating the sound booth. So I trust that he's kicking it. What's going on, baby? How you doing?
Well, I'm much better now. Thank you for making me laugh.
Always. I'm always grateful. I'm always grateful to make you laugh.
Hit me.
Ha!
Hit me.
Ha! So I'm just messing around with different sound bites here. The little James Brown joke.
Hit me.
Ha! Yeah, baby. You know, it's stupid shit like that that make people laugh for no apparent reason. Like, for instance, you can just be walking down the street or minding your own business, and you can go.
And that happened in jury duty today.
Really?
How do you plead?
Yeah. How do you plead?
Your Honor, I would like to show you Exhibit A.
This shit is out of order. Yeah, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. So, yeah. Well, did you learn anything about the IRS?
Did I learn anything? No, we were on hold.
Oh, but you did listen to the IRS information before that, no?
I did, yes.
Oh, okay.
No, I learned, and I'm not going to pay the man anymore.
No, well, we all have to pay the man, and it's very interesting to at least educate yourself on how this thing happened, and, you know, is it true that I don't actually have to pay income tax, and, you know, do your research, and then make choices, you know?
We the people. I support it.
Yeah. In my neighborhood, it's called We the People. I got a guy who lives in the neighborhood. His name is Peepo. Anyway.
All right, later. Thank you.
You got it, baby. Big up, big up, big up, big up, big up, big up. Philadelphia, big up. Big up, big up. Newark, New Jersey. Big up, big up, big up. New York City. Big up, big up. Woodstock in the house. Big up. Big the fuck up, man. Yeah. Studio City. Sherman Oaks. Sherman Oaks. Van Nuys. Yeah, man. Santa Monica. Yeah, bum. Yeah, bomber clad. Yeah, man. That's just like, there's a part of my brain that sometimes just like jumps, like, without me expecting it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Rich? Yeah. That, I mean, you and I know each other for a while. You know that happens.
Yeah.
We'll be driving and just start breaking out into fucking rap songs and shit for no apparent reason. Reason or rhyme, for that matter. Anyway, so Roger Ebert, I talked about, we were going to, rest in peace, Roger. Roger Ebert. Now, this Roger Ebert's funeral already happened, but I thought it was noteworthy that there's a group of Baptist church group. There's a Westboro Baptist church that they sent out a letter to basically let all their congregation know that they were going to boycott, or not boycott, but picket this man's funeral. And basically, they said according to the Hollywood Reporter, members of Westboro, that's the Westboro Baptist Church, or WBC, yo, you know what I'm saying?
Since 1955, yo.
Yeah.
They got some lineage.
Yeah. They slammed the late movie critic as a fag enabler. Come on, man. Are you serious? Noting that his tweets mocked the faithful servants of God that make up the congregation of the Kansas-based church. I mean, if somebody that I knew was a churchgoer and they said things like fag enabler or God hates fags and stuff like that, I'd mock them too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you believe in God or not, but my God loves everybody equally. You understand?
It's insane that anybody, you know, could call themselves a Christian or have any kind of religious thing background and own a website called www.godhatesfags.com.
That's really?
Just fucking...
Right.
No, it's fucking unbelievable.
Do they actually have...
On the top of the Westboro... they have that fucking thing.
I'm going to read.
Fucking it says, unbelievable.
They have a flyer.
Man.
They have a flyer. Yeah. It says, God hates fag enabler Roger Ebert. Lord willing, WBC to picket in lawful proximity to the funeral of fag enabler Roger Ebert at Priests Rape Boys Holy Name Cathedral. These people are fucking out of control, man. Unbelievable. For 22 years, Westboro has warned the people of Topeka, Kansas, and America that the policies of sin and this land have brought the wrath of God upon you. Yada, 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 yada. Anyway, this is like unbelievable shit. This is what these people wasted time and their energy on, you know, protesting and picketing. One of the things, now the famed critic, this is a quote, now the famed critic is in a new jurisdiction where he can see the blessings poured out on God's humble servants in heaven. From his seat of eternal torment and sorrow in hell, it's too late for the fool, Roger Ebert. WBC will continue to bind those who still live in doomed America to God's eternal laws and word. So you, like Roger Ebert, like Roger, are without excuse. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the shit that some of these Christian and I don't want to just say Christian, but religious right freaks, you know, they do. In the meantime, in Philadelphia, big up Philadelphia, big up. Three more Philadelphia priests remove from ministry following allegations and sex scandal. Why don't you go over there and start some shit? You know what I mean? With your so-called servants of God. Why don't you go to some of these churches, some of these congregations, and start some shit? Why don't you throw fucking fire bombs and do all the crazy shit that you do to abortion clinics and stuff like that? Yeah. Why don't you do it there?
Yeah. It's in your own fucking house. Clean your own house before you start, you know, chastising someone else who's, you know.
You know what I'm saying? It's like unbelievable. So this was this past week. Three more priests were permanently removed from ministry by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on Sunday, including one whose accuser killed himself after his allegation was dismissed by church officials. You know, it's unbelievable. The Reverends Joseph Gallagher and Mark Gaspar were suspended following a scathing 2011 grand jury report. Suspended. Like they're fucking baseball players, right? You can't play with kids' balls anymore. I mean, you're suspended. What the fuck are you talking about? Suspended. You know what I mean? It's that ultimately led to the landmark following a scathing 2011 grand jury report that ultimately led to the landmark conviction of a high-ranking archdiocese official on child endangerment charges. Two other priests and a Catholic school teacher were also convicted. It's like, come on, man. It's like, you're talking about kids, man. You're talking about, you know, you're mixing, you know, a very sensitive issue of worshiping God and having faith. And this shit's been going on forever. You know what I mean? The February 2011 grand jury report prominently named Gallagher as a priest who remained in ministry despite apparently credible allegations of abuse. The grand jury said that Archdiocese had found the allegation against him unsubstantiated despite the accuser's obvious credibility. It's fucked up.
And then they rearrange these guys, put them in different parishes or different churches or whatever, and hide them underneath, or just, you know, they never give them the punishment that they deserve. because what they think it's like the better for the better of the, you know,
of the congregation.
Yeah, of the congregation. You know, oh, we don't want to, you know, we do such a great service for everybody. We do such a great thing. Let's, you know, it's better if we don't tarnish our name because we do so good otherwise.
Right.
You know,
right. Well, some of them go to work for the Westboro Baptist Church and start molesting some of their little kids. There were a lot of comments posted underneath that ad, underneath that news report. And there was this one comment that I loved. It says, "Oh, leave the poor Catholics alone. In 1850, the Italian government made them give up castrating little boys so they would sound sweet when they sang to the Pope. They stopped after three centuries of thousands and thousands of castrations, in parentheses, in a time before anesthesia and antibiotics, when thousands more died in agony, bled out during surgery, or died later of infected wounds. What else do you demanding people want?" Big up, Philadelphia. Big up your child molesting bomba clad priest, motherfucker. Big up. Caller, thank you for calling Nestorius Public Radio.
You know, everything I hear about you guys just sound like, you know, you think being gay is okay. You think it's okay to be gay. It says in the Bible, Leviticus 18:32, "Thou shalt not lay with a man as thou would a woman." And yet you guys act like it's not even there. It's there.
What's there?
That it is a sin to be gay.
Okay. So it's a sin to be gay. Are you gay?
And yet you guys... No.
You sound gay, because if you're not gay, you should try.
You might be gay.
No, no disrespect to you. Listen, my belief is to each his own. Okay, that's my belief. And if you want to smear your cheeks with vitamin A fortified spermatozoa, God bless. That's your business. But I don't think that the church or the government should interfere with that. That's your personal business. That's where I stand on that.
I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about any church or any person that professes to be a Christian or even a Jew who does not condemn homosexuality as it is listed.
Why do they have to condemn it? Why can't they just let people do what the hell they want to do?
No, it's okay. I mean, it's fine. That's been going on forever. But
you can condemn anything. I mean, why don't they condemn hydrogenated vegetable oils? That says more than does more harm than a dick in your ass. You know,
in New York in the 70s, we condemned the buildings. But anyway, in Philadelphia, the priests. What do you think about that? I mean, molesting children. I mean, do you think that's cool?
Molesting children is wrong.
So then why don't a lot of Christian and religious groups protest and go up in arms about that rather than going up in arms about people who choose a lifestyle or who were born a certain way and decide to bring their sexual preferences or whatever their preferences are out into the public and celebrate their own life? Why don't religious people go ahead and protest that type of stuff? You rarely hear about that.
I do agree with you, but I'm not calling to say that people shouldn't be upset if kids are being molested or that people shouldn't protest certain things. What I am calling to say is that people act like the Bible does not say that gay is sin, but gay is sin. So people try to act like it's not there. People try to act like it's not a sin, but it is. Clearly, it's in the Bible if you read the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, then that's up to you. But no. Anybody who professes to be a Christian or a Jew, it's there in the Bible.
No, I understand. But also, if you read The Adventures of Superman 3, in that book, it says that kryptonite, you know, is his weakness. So at the end of the day, here's the moral of the story. It doesn't matter, man. What matters is peace, love, and having fun. In the late words of the late great James Brown.
Hit me.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. We're gonna have to say goodbye to you, caller. Thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate your views and listening in. I have to wrap up a couple of news articles and get to the Dennis Quaid interview. Take care. God bless.
Okay, and I better not hear you say that Dennis Quaid is gay.
Dennis Quaid is not gay. He's nothing but he's everything else but gay. Good guy though. Have a beautiful
okay,
one.
Listen, you take it easy.
Okay, I will take it easy. All right there. Ha ha. That was... Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Wow. That's gay porno music. That's the music you used to hear in 1970s. You used to hear that in 1970s cruising movies in 42nd Street. My, I like your mustache. Really? I have a dark alley we can go into.
Hit me!
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. That's right. So yeah, so we're gonna do a couple more news articles. This one is particularly hilarious. It's a man. This is New York City. I want to call this New York versus L.A. How's that? We have a guy in New York City dressed as the Cookie Monster. Dressed as a Cookie Monster, has been accused of shoving a 2-year-old in Times Square, and has been charged with endangering the welfare of a child. So, a Queens resident, Osvaldo Quiroz Lopez, was arrested. Why he gotta be Latino, man? You know what I'm saying? Fucking Latinos. Latinos was arrested Sunday afternoon. He was arraigned Monday on charges including aggressive begging. Is that a new crime? Aggressive begging? He didn't enter a plea. Yo, motherfucker, I need some money. I need some money. I need some money. This motherfucker's a crazy. Aggressive begging.
Dressed as the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, caller, hi.
Hey. Woodstock in the house.
Hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. You?
I just, great. Just was listening and, you know, didn't want that last caller to get away with being able to say the Bible condemns homosexuality because, you know, like many books, there's a lot of versions written and there's a lot of sections to read and it's written by a lot of different people at a lot of different times. And it does not specifically condemn homosexuality, particularly in real relationships. So,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I think he was a closet homosexual and he was uptight with his own sexuality. That's what I got. You guys can't see this, but I have a gay meter in my screen here with the audio levels, and trust me, this dude was a straight up bona fide closet gay guy. So I was trying to encourage him that it was okay. But, you know, the Bible schmeible. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. At the end of the day, my thing is get plenty of sunshine to fortify your skin and soul with vitamin D and just chill. You know what I mean?
Let live.
Live and let live.
Live and let love.
That's right. So you guys are getting ready to go back to Woodstock in a couple of days.
Monday morning.
Awesome. Well, listen, I gotta roll through like two more news articles, and
yep.
then I gotta do the Dennis Quaid interview, and then we gotta wrap up the show.
Okay.
But thank you for calling me. Thank you
Take
so
care.
Much for listening. That's right. Cookie Monster. So anyway, you guys got to Google this shit because I sent the JPEG that I took online of the Cookie Monster. First of all, New York, That Cookie Monster looked like a fucking cloud. He looked like a cloud of cotton ball that was dyed in blue, blue dye with big white eyes. Looked nothing like the Cookie Monster. Nothing.
Big puffy blue man. I don't know. You know what? It was like a repurposed fucking, repurposed animal suit or something. Like it was a. What's a bear? It's just the head's misshapen.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It made no sense. It made no sense whatsoever.
We're on the set of Vegas with Dennis Quaid, who plays Ralph Lamb. How are you, Dennis?
Doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Tell us about Vegas. Tell us about the show.
Vegas is basically cowboys versus gangsters. It's the story of Ralph Lamb, who was the sheriff of Las Vegas from 1960 to 1978, and the influence that the mob had on the building of what we call the modern Las Vegas of today.
Amazing show, amazing set design, amazing characters. What makes this show different than all the other Vegas mobsters, cowboy stuff that we've seen before in the movies? Maybe not so much in TV, but in the movies and stuff.
Well, it's a little bit like some of what you've seen in Casino, and because there's Nick Pileggi, who was the creator and the writer of it, it has a great feel to it. It's back in the 60s in the era that was going on back then, that you've never seen Vegas, which was a one horse town back then, and the growth that happened during that period was exponential.
How is working on a TV show like this? I mean, you're a seasoned actor. You've done a gazillion films. I was thinking about this, how there was a period where TV actors wanted to be film actors. They wanted to have a film career. And I think maybe 10 years ago or something like that, all of a sudden movie actors started coming into TV, and it kind of changed the whole game.
Well, movies have changed a lot. You know, they've become video games a lot. And they're not making as many movies. There are some great films out there, but they're every year. But you know, there's a handful. And so many great writers have come to television. And so many great shows that are on television nowadays, you know, that I think it's the place to be. And I've been looking for a couple of years for the right thing to come along. And when this did, when Vegas came along, I felt... it was worth the shot.
It was awesome. Tell us about the pilot reel, like a summary. I'm not going to ask you about any of the show, any of the episodes and stuff like that, because I really want people to watch the show on iTunes. I mean, unless you can get reruns. But right now, we're on the second episode, second to last episode of the first season.
Right.
But tell us about the pilot. I mean, I saw the pilot. I haven't seen you in a while. I love you. You fucked up that guy. You beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I love the scene with the airplanes landing, and you're like, give me a fucking break with this shit.
Well, it was, you know, you have that juxtaposition of a cowboy on horseback coming through the desert into a, you know, a modern day 1960s, albeit airport, a bunch of people getting off a plane.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the kind of images that I think made the pilot so special.
Right, right. You're like, dude, you're fucking up my cattle. You know, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah, he screwed my cattle up, and where that ranch was is probably where the Bellagio is now.
Right, right, right. Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, so I know that the show was airing on, what, Tuesday nights, was it?
Yeah.
And now it's going to move to Fridays.
We're going to move to Friday nights at 9 o'clock, and which I think is a great move for us. I think it's a good niche for it's where we always wanted to be, in fact. I think Friday night is our night.
Well, I'm definitely going to do everything in my power to plug this show in to anyone on Facebook, anywhere on podcasts. I do two podcasts, and I want the show to be successful for many reasons, you know, because we love working in California, but I also love the story. It's the production value is unbelievable. I mean, the production values are unbelievable, no?
It's incredible. Well, we recreated Fremont Street in Las Vegas just exactly as it was in 1960 out here, and it's pretty amazing to... People, their jaws drop when they walk down the street.
I'm going to take some pictures of the lot with all those amazing. I mean, I'm a classic car whore. Yeah. Those are amazing cars. You know what I mean? Right. So, real quick, why should, you know, these young podcast video game playing knuckleheads out there, you know, why should they tune in on Friday and watch the show? Why should they record it? Why should they download it on iTunes?
Because it's got a great story going on. That's why. It's a great story to follow, and with some great characters, and it's got a great look to it.
And you might learn something about Vegas and the evolution of the...
I don't want to care what you learn. Just be entertained.
Just be entertained. All right, well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Dennis, man. That was awesome.
Okay, man.
That's right. That's right. That was dope. I kind of wrapped it up with that Cookie Monster thing because I only have a few minutes. I had a few minutes to do the interview and then wrap up the show. So that concludes the inaugural episode of Nestorius Public Radio with your host, Nestorius, Nestor Rodriguez, and my man Rich Corbin. My man Rich motherfucking Corbin.
Thanks, sir.
Once in a while, say a peep, motherfucker. Hello, yeah, all right. Anyway, you can email us at Nestorius, N-E-S-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, at gmail.com. Anytime, any questions, anything, requests, whatever, ice cream flavors, you know, the name of the big up, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you like. Or you can check me out on Facebook, Nestor Rodriguez, and you can check me out on my website, NestorRodriguez.com. Rich, how can they find you?
Check out RichCorbin.com.
That's it.
That's
tune
it.
In, very tune simple. In, tune in next week, same time, Thursdays, 9 to 10 p.m. Have a nice one.
Talking shit. Y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way long. Ow.